Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, please. I'd like you to turn with me there, Hebrews chapter 10. Last week we looked at chapter 11 and all of these incredible names of people that by faith stood for the Lord and obeyed Him. And we concluded last week with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In chapter 10, I wanted to bring out some things that I didn't have time for last week that I trust will be a blessing for you. Every one of the names in Hebrews 11 discovered the God who was faithful. Discovered the God who was faithful in everything that they were called to do. And that's what Hebrews 10, verse 23 says. He who promised is faithful. How many believe that? He who promised is faithful. We're going to begin at verse 19 and read through verse 25 this morning. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, seeing that those things are there, those things are established, and we'll talk about those in a moment. Then the next four verses encourage us to do four different things. And three of them begin with the words in the New King James Version, let us. The fourth one doesn't have those words, but they're implied, so I'm going to use them there. In verse 22, it says, then in light of verse 19, 20, and 21, let us. Notice the word us. The writer of Hebrews includes everyone that are part of the body of Christ. Let us. We are us. How many know we're here today and it's us? It's not just me. It'd be pretty lonely if it was just me this morning. I can guarantee you the offering would be really low if it was just me this morning. How many know it's us, right? It's us. We are connected. Even if you're visiting with us this morning, you become part of the us for a little while. And the us is very important. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, saving our heart, or having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So let us, number one, let us draw near. Let us draw near to Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, who we are looking unto as the author and the finish of our faith. Let us draw near to him. Number 2, verse 23, let us hold fast. Hold fast. It's an old way of saying hang on. To the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It's what all those names in Hebrews 11 found and discovered, was that he who called, he who promised, he who gave them instructions would be faithful to help them. Number 3, verse 24, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another. And then number 4, if you will, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As you sense the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord is coming, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As we read this little passage, we see a number of things, I think, that draws our attention, or at least mine, and I trust that yours as well. And really, when we take it in the aggregate, it's a call to us. It's a call to the believers who come together. We are together this morning because we believe that that's what God has called us to do, right? That in the Scriptures, God made it plain that God's people were to join together at some point on a regular basis, and that they were to encourage and help one another. And you see that clearly in the first few chapters of the book of Acts. And you see the power of that, of those gatherings. Some of those gatherings were rather large, others were small. The majority of them were not held in the temple, though some were. Most of them were held in private homes or out in the open. It would be later that buildings would be built. But never once do we discover in scriptures a time when God says, okay, stop gathering together. We don't need that anymore. How many know we're following the pattern in the Bible, right? The us joining together. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We most of the time maybe only see each other on Sunday morning, the us. Maybe we'll have fellowship with someone during the week or a Bible study, but for the most part, it's on Sunday morning. Why do we continue to do that? It's because the Lord has instructed us to do that. We do a number of things when we are together. But above everything else, we try to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Try to exalt the Lord. But there's other things that we do. Verses 19 through 21, it talks about a boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It talks about this personal relationship that we can have with the Lord. The holiest as reference to the holiest of holy place in the temple that was only allowed to go into by the high priest. But now there's a new and living way, verse 20, which is consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. There was a veil that separated the holiest of holies from the other parts of the temple. And that veil was rent when Jesus died on the cross. And so the writer of Hebrews likens the flesh of Jesus to that veil. When the flesh of Jesus was put on the cross and was ripped and torn and beaten and killed, and the veil of the temple was rent, it was like he was giving a picture of what was happening. He was making access so that today, the us, all of us here that love Jesus, have full access to God anytime we want to. Amen? Not just on Sundays, all right? You don't have to be here on Sunday to have access to God, all right? But we have access anytime we want to. We can come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can pray. We can do that because of what Jesus did. Verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes intercession for us. He's the one that invites us in. He's the one that helps us, encourages us. And he's the one that we worship and we serve. There is no mention in these first three verses of pastors. I'm not the high priest. Understand that. I'm not the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not the mediator between God and man. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ, right? Now, I'm a shepherd, and it's my responsibility to encourage and teach and help us as we come together. But Jesus is our great high priest. And knowing that, knowing we have a way into the holiest of holy places, knowing we have a way into the very throne room of God to pray and to ask God for his help and his strength is really a marvelous thing. And in light of that, then these next four things come into play. The first one, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the eloquent words of the writer of Hebrews that says, you that are dirty can be clean through Jesus. And how many were dirty? You better all raise your hands. But now we're cleansed through the blood of Jesus. Amen? The living, the water of the Word, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and given us the right to draw near with a true heart. Do we really understand the impact of that? That we have been invited to come and draw near to Jesus. So many of the world's religions, the thing or the personage that they worship, it's a standoff thing. It's from afar off. You can only approach them from afar off. You can't. You've got to do certain regiments, and even then, you can never really have a close relationship to them. I watched a little travelogue thing on India the other day, and though I was aware of the many, many, many gods that are worshipped in India. One of them that the travelogue mentioned was the temple, the rat temple, where actually the rats are worshipped. And when I saw that, Cheryl saw that, she said, "What a tragedy! What a tragedy that people would believe that. And I don't mean to speak ill of anyone's religious teachings, but I want to tell you that is leading down a wrong way, a wrong track. Amen? And I don't know how, well, I don't want to go there, but what I know is that we serve a living God, and He has invited us to draw near. And we can come, according to Isaiah, without price, without money. It doesn't matter if you have money or don't have money. We can come to Jesus. We can draw near. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. People don't understand that, but it's wonderful, this wonderful ability to come to the Lord, not because of us, but because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. He's died on the cross. He made a way for us to come and be as close to Him as we want to be. He's invited us to do that. How many are glad you're invited? Amen? And that you can do that. You can call out on the Lord at any time. Through my years of ministry, we've had a number of people come to the Lord, and I want to tell you, some of them were pretty bad characters. Pretty bad characters. Most of them are come to second service. pretty bad characters. And they come to Jesus weary, worn, and sad. They come to quote an old song, they come to Jesus pretty dirty, pretty stained with the things of the world, the things of the flesh. And yet they come to Jesus, and Jesus welcomes them in. How many though that when Jesus was on earth, He embraced the lepers, right? He embraced the lepers, the lame, the blind, the halt, the prostitutes, the ones that were sorry for their sins. Didn't matter what they did, how dirty they were, He embraced them and loved them and welcomed them in. And that's you and I. He welcomes us in and says, draw near. Draw near to Me. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter how dirty or scarred you are. So verse 22 says, let us draw near. We have that invitation with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There is nothing that takes the place of being able to say, I am forgiven. Hallelujah. And to have the relief of knowing that those sins are forgiven, that they are cast as far away as the east is from the west. So we can draw near to God. Secondly, in verse 23, then let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Let's not waver at the confession of our faith. Let's follow Him and not waver. There's a lot of things that may cause us to waver, for He who promised is faithful. You read those names in Hebrews 11, and a number of them had moments when they could waver, and some of them did. Remember, it was Abraham, the great Abraham, the man of faith, the man who of obedience. Remember, it was Abraham who said to Sarah, look, we're going to go into Egypt, and you need to tell him you're my sister. Because you're so beautiful that if they find out you're my wife, they'll kill me to get you. So I'm just going to have you lie, all right? That's a wonderful man of faith. Don't raise your hands, but how many wives would just jab your husbands and say, don't you ever do that? I'm not your sister. But Abraham did. He wavered because he was faced with danger and he wasn't sure that God could protect him. Well, he learned his lesson, didn't he? That God was able and that you should never give in to the pressure around you and violate the Lord's commandments and lie. He wavered. But he didn't have to because God was faithful. God protected him in that Egypt experience. Matter of fact, God appeared to that king and said, if you dare touch her, I'm gonna strike you down. And the king said to Abraham, why did you lie to me? Why did you lie to me? He was found out. But he found that God was faithful. And we find the same is true of us if we hold fast to the confession of our faith. Never has there been a time, at least in my ministry, and I think I can say this without hesitation, never has there been a time in my ministry where people that love the Lord and follow the Lord have more of an opportunity to waver in their faith than today. And that's sad. just because of the culture that we live in. Never have I seen a day where Christians have more of an opportunity. But somehow I believe the scripture that says, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Amen? And if ever there's a time we need to hold true to our confession of faith, it is in this day that we live right now. No compromising. No compromising. No wishy-washy. No one side, foot in one side, foot in the other. No one side, foot in the world, and one side in the following Jesus, as it were. We need to be 100% committed followers of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? Do you agree with that? If you're not, if we're not going to do that, then I say, why fool with following Jesus at all? If we're going to be halfway in, halfway out, why fool with it at all? Jump all the way into the world. And I think there may come a day when our decision is going to have to be all for Christ or all for the world, but you can't have both. Come on. Amen? You gotta have all for Christ. And so hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why can we do that? How can we do that? Because he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to help us and to be with us and to strengthen us and to give us courage, give us the words to speak, etc., etc. Number three, let us consider one another in order to restore up love and good works. Now maybe this is to help us do the second one. It's the us. Let us consider one another. Let's look at our brothers and sisters in the Lord and help them keep that confession of faith, if you will. Let us stir one another up to love and good works. Let's remind each other of what we are called to do as Christians. We're called to love one another. And that becomes an incredible example to the world. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. Loving one another is an incredible witness to the world. You look around you, we have all different kinds of people in this service. Same with second service. We have all different age groups. We have all different kinds of people. People from different social status and economic status. We have all kinds here. You know, we don't dress alike, all right? I think I might be the only one with a sweater on this morning because I froze at home today. I felt like it was winter times. I know what you're thinking. You can say it. That's because you're old, Pastor. Whatever it is, I think I'm the only one with a sweater on. But how many know we don't have a rule here? Everyone's got to wear a sweater on Sunday morning, right? Boy, we'd lose a lot of folks. We're all different, and yet we're all connected with the us. Let us consider one another to stir us up to love and good works. We love one another. Doesn't care what our backgrounds, doesn't care where we live, doesn't matter how much money we have or don't have. We love one another. We love one another here. And that's the way it ought to be in God's kingdom, right? It's what it ought to be in God's kingdom. And whether we attend here or whether we have friends in other churches, it doesn't matter. We love one another. And that's what this third thing is too, that we stir each other up to love and secondly to good works. There are things that we can do that are good. We're not saved by works, but we ought to do good works. There are things that we ought to do that are good. We ought to help people. We ought to volunteer our time, praying at the high school. We don't have to do that, but we're going to do that because it's a good thing to do. Volunteer at your schools and help your neighbor and those that are sick, you bring them meals and those kind of things. Those are good works and those are good to do. And again, those are evidences that we belong to the kingdom of God. So let us consider one another and stir us up. And so we encourage one another to do that. Encourage one another to love and to have mercy and to forgive. And then the fourth one, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together. Before I go there, though, let me take you to another verse in Romans chapter 13. Can I do that real quick? Romans chapter 13. I want you to see something that's interesting. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 11. We know without a doubt Paul wrote Romans. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. My leaning is that Paul probably wrote Hebrews, but It's really interesting because the wording in Romans 13 is so similar to what we're reading right here. There seems to be a real connection. But Romans chapter 13, verse 8. It says, owe no one anything except to what? Love one another. That's the only debt. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, and then it lists some. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because when you love your neighbor, truly love your neighbor, then you would not murder your neighbor, commit adultery with your neighbor, or bear false witness against them, or covet. You wouldn't do that if you loved them. And so it's all summed up in this, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's what Hebrews said, that we ought to stir each other up to love and to good works. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's how important it is that we love one another and we demonstrate that love for each other every time we have an opportunity. And then look at verse 11. And do this knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In verse 25 of Hebrews, it says the day is approaching. And here in verse 11, it says our salvation, referring to the coming of the Lord, is closer than we believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore, and then notice the wording, let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk properly. Very similar to what we just read in Hebrews. Let us do this. It's the us again. We are in this together. We are the us, if you will. Verse 13, walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So that's pretty specific for the believers. There's a way that we should live, and we should encourage each other to live that way. We should help one another to live that way. Now, I know that we're not perfect. I know that we fall. I know that we sin, and we can come to Christ and ask forgiveness for that. But the us ought to encourage one another to try to live like we ought to live for Jesus. Amen? Amen. So you go back to Hebrews now. Chapter 10, verse 25. We come to the last one. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So what was happening? It appears by this verse that there started to be a movement that somehow taught that you didn't have to meet together on a regular basis anymore. And whoever wrote Hebrews, Paul or whoever wrote it, he warned them against that. He said, don't forsake the assemblings of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Begin to be that teaching. We have that teaching in existence even today. We have that teaching that you don't need to go to church, that you don't need to be with other people of like faith. You can just be on your own. You can worship God, you know, anywhere you are, and you don't need to get entrapped in this whole church thing. Well, I'm sorry, but I think church is getting a bad rap. And I'm going to make a very bold statement right here and now. Though some churches have not lived up to what I think the church should, the majority of churches are doing what Jesus has called them to do, and I believe in the church because Jesus died for the church. Amen? Died for the church. And no church is perfect, least of all Landmark. You went, oh, no, I'm sitting in an imperfect church? That's right. We could get better donuts if Sally would do it. No, the truth of it is, you're attending an imperfect church today. And most every church is that way. I don't know of a perfect church. The only time we'll see one is when we finally become the church that is without spot or without wrinkle that Jesus takes to heaven. Amen? And that'll be people from all faiths that believe in Jesus Christ. Not all faiths, but all those who love the Lord. But I think the church has got a bad rap. And so people stop going to church. And I understand that. I understand maybe a church hurt you or a pastor hurt you. But I'm telling you, folks, if that's the case, then find another church. But go somewhere, because we need one another. And the chances are really good that if you don't go to church, the devil's going to target you like a sheep that's out of the flock, and like a wolf that looks for the one that's lagging behind. I'm telling you, you become a prey for the enemy. Amen? Believe that. You say, well, you're saying that because you need us here. You need our money. You need our offerings. And so, of course, you'd say that. Listen, I believed that when I pastored a church of two. I believed that when it was just Cheryl and I in my first church. And we never grew to many over 10. I still believe that. And I still believe that today. I love the church. I believe in the church. And I believe that it's God's will that we attend a church. A family of the us. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it'll be on the screen. There's a little verse that says, Jesus went into the synagogue as his custom was. I'll just read it. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus went to what we know as church. He went to the synagogue. It was his pattern. He did it. He kept that up even as an adult. And he was the Son of God. If the Son of God felt it was important to go to church while he was here, how much more, I think, should we feel it's important to go to church? Amen? To be in church. Now, that doesn't mean you can't miss a time or two. Or go on vacation and whatever. You know, God's not going to strike us dead if that happens. Because sometimes you can't be in church. Sometimes you got to work on a Sunday. And I understand that. But I'm talking about the general idea that we don't need the church anymore. Let's just all do our own thing and just kind of live out this life. The chances are really good you're not going to do that. And so God help the church, amen, to be what God has called it to be. And help us to exhort one another. That's what verse 25 says. Exhort one another as we see the day approaching. Even as we grow closer to the coming of Christ, I think it is important that we believe in the church and that we are part of a body of believers. And I am grateful that you are. I'm grateful that you attend Landmark Church. You are more than just people to us. You are family. And I hope that's the way we feel about each other. We're family. We're in this together. And the God who is faithful to all those names in Hebrews 11 is the God that's going to be faithful to us, right? And we're going to help one another and encourage one another and love one another and forgive one another and exhort one another to good works. We're going to do that because that's what the Scripture says to do. And as the example that Jesus set, now he went to church on what we know as Saturday in the synagogue. That's what the Jewish folks did. We go to church on Sunday like the apostles did after the resurrection. But regardless of the day you go, let's go. Amen? Following the pattern of Jesus Christ, because it's the us. I want to end this way. Excuse me just a moment. I want you to realize how important that you are to those that are sitting around you. Just by the setup of our sanctuary, we have, five sections. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't do that because these folks have been bad, so we set them in the bad section. No. We don't do that because this is the section that gives the most. No, we don't do that. Sit wherever you want to sit, right? It'd probably scare me to death if next week all of you folks decided to sit over there and you sat over there. I'd go, what's going on? There's a coup d'etat going on here. Now, you sit wherever you want. But the us, we're sheep, and you know, we kind of like to sit where we like to sit. It's where you can hear the best, see the best, whatever, and that's fine. But what happens is that you, as you come week after week, you begin to develop relationships in your section. And I love it when someone will say, where has so-and-so been? They sit in my section. And I love to hear that. And then if I know, I'll tell them. And if I don't, I encourage them maybe to call them. They sit in my section. They don't say they sit in the West section. No, it's my section. Taking ownership. They care about those people that are sitting around them. We develop relationships. That may not mean very much to you, but I'll tell you it means the world to me. Because what it says to me is that we're taking on the instructions of Hebrews chapter 10. We are the us. And the us is important. Amen? Now, it doesn't mean those in that section don't care about those in that section. Okay? They do. They care. And on and on. It's not really about the sections. It's about the fact that this is where I go to church. This is my church family. And yet, my brothers and sisters in the Lord that go to another church in our town, if for some reason you're over there for an event or whatever, you can be just as comfortable because we are all one in Christ, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen. So, Lord, thank you for the us. Thank you for the church. Not just Landmark Church, but thank you for all of our churches in our city and our county. Thank you for the believers that are part of the kingdom of God. Thank you for the us. Thank you for the privilege of being part of the family of God. And Lord, help me to get a new grasp of how important that one who sits beside me or behind me or in front of me is to me. And help me get a grasp of how important I am to them. Because if they're gone, there's a hole. If I'm gone, there's a hole. Lord, help us to really grasp the fact that we are one in Christ because of what you've done on the cross for us. Thank you for the us. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the kingdom. Thank you that you're coming again. And thank you that heaven is our home. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. 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 You're dismissed. Have a wonderful Sunday. We hope to see you at the high school at 7. But if not, we'll see you next Sunday in God's house. Thank you for coming to church today.